Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
I want to hear cannons.
-18, your final score on Thursday Night Football as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will lose their third game in a row and fall to 3-4 on the season. An incredibly disappointing loss to the Buffalo Bills on prime time in a game that, while the final score makes it seem like it was much closer than it was, just too little too late for the Bucs, and going to be a short show. No intro this week, no flashy intro. It was one of those games. Felt like it took years off of my life, and we're going to try our best here to break it down. Welcome back to the Cannon Fire Podcast. I'm your host, Rhett Matthew, joined alongside me, my good buddy and co-host from BucsNation.com, Evan Wanish. And we are still reeling as we are live to react to the Buccaneers' 24-18 loss on Thursday Night Football. Felt like for a while in this game, anything that could go wrong did go wrong. And ultimately, another big fat L for the Buccaneers on the schedule.
Yeah, and you know, another game where the offense has looked lackluster. Basically scored 10 points, right? I mean, yeah, they scored that touchdown at the end, got the two-point conversion, but you know, Buffalo bailed them out with 2 fourth-down penalties in a row. So really, you could say, yeah, they shouldn't even have gotten that close. So yeah, another game where the offense just hasn't been able to put it together. And, 6 points scored in week 6, 13 points scored week 7, and basically 10 scored in week 8. So simply you're not going to win football games like that. You're just not. And I don't have the answer for how things get better for this offense. Like I don't know how things are going to get better. Like I thought this was one of the worst offensive line games that they've had all season. Baker was especially late, like constantly under duress. Cody Mauch, probably his worst game as a pro. Tristan Wirfs had the penalty. Cody Mauch also had a big penalty on the Mike Evans play. Just, I don't know how this gets any better. Are they going to go winless? No. Because like there's going to be games where they're going to be able to score 17 points and maybe win because the defense holds the team to 13. I'm not expecting much out of this offense, and I don't know how anybody else can either.
Yeah, it was tough sledding tonight. Obviously looking for the run game to get involved, and Rashad White 9 carries for 39 yards, averaging 4.3 yards a tote. I think I said earlier this week, if you give him 15 carries, he's going to get 65 yards. He didn't get 15 carries, but I do think he was on pace to get that.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. You know, when you're playing as far behind as 24-10 in the second half, you're going to have to abandon the run at some point, and that's what they did. But Rashad White, very productive night. On the bright side, he did lead the team in receiving as well as rushing, 7 receptions and 70 yards. So 109 total yards from scrimmage for Rashad White. We've been waiting for him to have a big week, but everything else on the offensive side of the ball just felt like it simply was not enough. Baker wasn't hitting throws. Felt like the Bucs could not get any sort of break when it came to starting field position. I mean, may have been the best statistical game by a punter in NFL history, because of course it was. It seemed like every time they got the ball, they're starting from inside their own 10-yard line, even down to the final few minutes of this game. Chris Godwin, 5 receptions for 54 yards. Mike Evans was pretty quiet tonight. 3 receptions for 39 yards. And the problem with that was, it wasn't even like Buffalo had put a lot of resources towards trying to slow down Mike Evans.
They didn't go to him.
They just didn't see him. Either Baker didn't see him or he didn't go to him, like you said. They were showing highlights all night long of the separation that Mike Evans was able to create. The Prime Vision broadcast said that he was averaging over 3 yards of separation throughout the entire game, which for a guy like Mike Evans is considerable.
And in the NFL, that's open.
That's as open gets. But let's talk about Baker Mayfield while we do talk about some of the offense and what went wrong. 25 for 42, 237 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, but a couple more passes batted down at the line of scrimmage, a couple more missed shots downfield, you know, missed Mike Evans on that first down, which was a weird, tacky throw. Yeah. I was waiting for the replay, but I wasn't sure what went wrong there. But regardless, miscommunication, didn't hit his guy, and just not a lot of ability to drive the ball downfield. You know, the biggest drive the Bucs had was a touchdown drive on 92 yards, which took 8 minutes off of the clock, and they were bailed out on fourth down twice by 2 different penalty calls. So realistically, you look at the box score for Baker, 25 for 42, 237 yards, 2 touchdowns, no turnovers. Looks like an average day. It looks like kind of what we've come to expect from what he's given us, but it just wasn't.
If you watch the game, it wasn't good.
It just wasn't there tonight. It was not a good game at all.
The batted passes are starting to become a problem. Missed a lot of throws. Honestly, got away with probably 2 or 3 interceptions, where like Buffalo just nearly had it but didn't quite have it.
At least one was a pick six.
Yeah, just I don't know, and like, I know there's going to be a lot of people that want Trask in the game, and I get. I just don't think that happens at this point in the season. I just don't think that really is what's going to happen right now. So I mean, but would it surprise me? Like I said, I think that at this upcoming Texans game, right? I think this is the big one. I think the Bucs drop that one, and the offense still looks awful. Like, I think then maybe you see a change. That'd be 4 losses in a row, 5 of your last 6. You need a change at that point, I think. But for now, I don't think that Baker Mayfield is going to be going anywhere as his team starter. But he just got to be better. And right now, you're starting to see this is who the guy is. Like, just is what it is. Like, this is what he's going to give you. And like, it seemed like he just, I don't know. We had what, 17 incompletions? Felt like he had 30 incompletions. Like, it felt like every pass was just was incomplete. And then, you know, we got, again, hesitant throwing the ball, always pumping it or, you know, cocking it back, and just, you know, got to get rid of it, and took too many sacks. Just again, not good enough, not decisive enough, not good enough. Got away with a few turnovers, and now you're starting to see a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure is going to be on Baker Mayfield for next week. So we have a $4.99 super chat from Deontay. Appreciate it, Deontay. Evans has a lot of leverage right now. This offense without him out there, I doubt we score. Below average offense right now, I don't see improvement. Yeah, I mean, you know, just like I said earlier, Deontay, I mean, not sure how this gets better. And I mean, Mike Evans does have a lot of leverage because he's the best player on an offense that's not very good. But at the same time, you know, yeah, it's tough because there's more than one issue with this offense, you know, and it's tough to find an answer to all their problems. And there's not going to be a quick answer, and it's not going to be an easy fix. And I think it's going to take weeks. And unfortunately, I don't know if Baker Mayfield has weeks. You know, I don't know if he has that amount of time. Because like I said, like, you know, in past shows, once you go to Kyle Trask, it's doing one of two things. One, there is no going back. There is no going back to Baker Mayfield. Once you start trading off quarterbacks, no, like, you don't want to get into that. Two, once you put in Kyle Trask, to me, the Bucs are essentially saying the season is over. Right. Then that's why I'm hesitant to say, like, at 3-4, that's why I'm hesitant to say that they're just going to give up on the season. Right. But I think if you lose that Texans game and the offense again looks lackluster, I think you got to do it. I just, because eventually, you know, your message of, oh, Baker's our guy, this offense will turn around, eventually it's going to get stale. In that locker room, because the defensive players and everybody else on the offense is going to be like, okay, when's it happening? Because, like, you know, you keep telling us that it's going to get better, but it's not. And, like, we keep losing games. And at this point, there's a lot of heat on Baker. And if you ask me right now, if he's finishing out the year as the Bucs starter, I don't think so. Like, I don't know if he's going to finish the year as the Bucs starter. I just don't know.
A real concern of mine is we start to talk about, you know, week in and week out, the constant struggles with this Buccaneers offense. The lack of discipline with this team has been awful, but it seems like it came on incredibly fast. I did not think discipline would be this much of an issue. As we allude to the penalties tonight by Tampa Bay, 11 penalties for 74 yards. I believe the second week in a row they've had over 10 penalties, half of those coming from pre-snap penalties. Just three of those alone on Luke Goedeke, the right tackle tonight, who had a pretty rough game. I don't know what to say. You know, I really don't. This is obviously going to show up on coaching more than anything else, too. We can talk about the execution of the players, and we will. Because not only do the Bucs have a mini bye week, but we have more extra days to talk about what went wrong with this game and you know, some more of the things going wrong with the Buccaneers offense this year. But discipline falls directly on coaching. It falls into how prepared Todd Bowles had them for this game. And we had hinted to it earlier this week on the game preview show about the complacency of Todd Bowles and how, during his tenure as head coach, that was brought into question a lot during 2022, because in the second half of that season, it felt like the team was just kind of getting worse. And it felt like they were just surviving week in and week out.
Well,
and
they were surviving because of Tom Brady.
Right. Know? I mean, he just wanted to survive and make it to the end of the year because of, you know, everything else he had going on. But, you know, realistically, we're not even at the halfway point of the season. So there is a lot of football left to be played. A loss this week is going to hurt on a short week, and it's a loss that we expected, but for some reason, I come away feeling more disappointed than I expected to. Like, I didn't expect much, and I was still let down. And that's the kind of game it was tonight.
It's like that one meme where it's like the sign, like, our expectations were low for you, but holy, you know, yeah, holy bleep.
Exactly. No, exactly. That's exactly how I feel, and obviously, a lot of eyes going to turn to Todd Bowles, who after his third straight loss from a 3-1 start is now going to be in the hot seat more so than ever. So between Todd Bowles and then I guess Dave Canales as well, we talk about his offensive game plan. The Bucs were just not prepared tonight. From the beginning of the game, they were not the better team, and they never really were. I'll be honest with you. The interception, congratulations to Will Golston, 11-year NFL vet, got his first career interception tonight. So cool to see a big man interception. It was kind of a fluke play.
Like, well, no, and also, and that's like the Bucs scored their touchdown on that. Like,
they did.
We could be talking about right now the Buccaneers scoring 3 points. If that interception never happens and the Bills don't commit two penalties on fourth down, the Buccaneers lose 24-3.
Correct.
Like, there's zero juice on this offense. There's zero juice.
And on top of that, as we transition the conversation from the offense over to the defense. Now, I wanted to talk about the brand of football the Buffalo Bills are playing tonight. And pardon my French, we don't get dirty on this podcast a lot, but the Buffalo Bills were playing some classic fuck you football on offense tonight. It was incredible the lack of respect that they paid the Buccaneers defense, because they were up 14 points and it could have been 3rd and 12. It could have been 3rd and 5. And Josh Allen drops back and throws it 25 yards downfield with a busted up shoulder.
Yeah.
I mean, they took him into the blue tent, took him out for a couple of plays. They were concerned about his well-being, but he still threw for over 350 yards tonight, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sorry, 312 yards tonight. Over 450 total yards of offense for the Buffalo Bills. But, I mean, you know, for some reason, it felt like they were shying away from that big kill shot at the end of the game to just put the Bucs out of their misery, which is the only reason this game came down to a last-second Hail Mary for the Bucs. But I gotta say, like, they were definitely playing some FU ball to the Buccaneers defense tonight. They were just throwing all over the yard.
Yeah, yeah. And a quick shout out to the Crazy Shank for a $2 super chat. Throwback for the Wendy's Fund. Keep making content. Appreciate you. And then also Deontay with another $4.99 super chat. Appreciate that, Deontay. Also, our clock management and our non-aggressive play calling on fourth downs are awful. We have to help our defense and stay on the field. I agree. I mean, you know, the offense's inability to stay on the field on third downs just kills them. I mean, it really does. And I don't care how good your defense is, when the defense is out there for most of the game, that's what's going to happen. And I obviously, the defense didn't look sharp, especially to start the game. Obviously had that nice fourth down stand, fourth and goal stand, but again, kind of like the Atlanta thing, you know, like, oh, the defense forced 3 turnovers, but like, Atlanta got down in the red zone for all of those turnovers. The defense forced a turnover on downs, but the Bills, you know, they ended up they were down there, right? They were on like the 3-yard line. So the defense, obviously, the second week in a row, they won the turnover margin, but lost the football game. So we talk about, you know, the important things that you need to do to win football games, and one of them's create turnovers and limit turnovers. Well, the Bucs have been doing that. They haven't been winning. Like, I just, you know, I don't see, again, how this offense, unless this defense just goes nuclear, you know, and gives them a lot of short fields and a lot of, you know, golden opportunities, I don't see how this offense is going to consistently be able to score points week in and week out against NFL defenses. And there are some defenses that are going to be better than the Buffalo Bills. Like the Tennessee Titans, they're not a very good football team, but like, they can play some stingy defense at times, right? You got them in 2 weeks. Mike Vrabel has them well coached. You got the San Francisco 49ers in a few weeks. Like, that defense is arguably the best in the NFL. Like, you got some tough ones coming up. You know, and I just don't know how this offense gets out of it. And that's my biggest takeaway from tonight, is like, you were hoping to find a little bit of juice, a little bit of pop. And instead, it's just nothing. Like, there's nothing on this offense, man. They don't get the ball into Mike Evans' hands. They don't get the ball into Chris Godwin's hands enough. Like, they don't do, you know, anything to help out their quarterback, really. The quarterback doesn't really help out the offense much by missing open guys, being inaccurate. The offensive line doesn't help out by being inconsistent. They still can't really run the ball. Even though Rashad White, you know, like, his average was better tonight, they still can't run the ball. Like, this offense is just... it is what it is. I mean, it's a bottom tier NFL offense. Like, it just is.
Can't run the ball when it matters. You know, can't run the ball when it's worth a damn. At no point did the Bucs control the game tonight, but they certainly tried to give the ball to Rashad White. And again, his average went up, only 9 or 10 carries tonight. But if he would have had more, I guarantee he would have had a solid game. But you're playing from behind. You have to allow Baker to throw the ball. And he just wasn't hitting his guys tonight. Obviously, it wasn't there when they needed it. And that's kind of been one of the bigger stories with this offense this year as well, is just how they can't show up in the moments where they need them to show up. Like, unfortunately, Mike Evans, maybe it's on Baker for not seeing him, but Mike was open tonight, but he didn't show up when the Bucs needed him in the first 3 quarters. You know, it felt like he finally got those big chunk plays in the 4th quarter and finally got the Bucs on the board with the touchdown at the end of it to bring it close. But I just don't know what it is, man.
Real quick, before we move on to the defense, because this is going to be a shorter show, before we move on to the defense, Greg Allman tweeted during the game, the Bucs' offensive drive since tying the game at 10. This was during the game. Their offensive drive since they tied the game at 10 went down 10-0. And at that point, you were like, oh boy, right? Like, I think at that point, I was like, oh, this could be a little ugly. Like, this could be ugly. And that was 10-0 with the Bills getting stopped on 4th and goal as well. So include that. Bucks offensive drive since tying the game at 10. 29 yards in a punt, 18 yards in a punt, 9 yards in a punt, 6 yards in a punt. You're not going to win football games that way. It's just, it's not going to happen. I don't care who you play. Like, you will lose to the Arizona Cardinals if you play that way. Like, you will lose to the, like, you played the Chicago Bears again and the offense plays like that, you're going to lose. Like you're going to lose. It's just the offense. And look, like, I understand, you know, Dave Canales, first time play caller, but like, he's got to be better. Like, he has to be better. It's just, it's brutal. It is brutal to watch right now. And like, I understand they're not as talented on offense as in years past. Doesn't matter. Like, work with what you got. Make the most of what you got. And the Buccaneers just don't do that right now. And part of that is coaching. Like, obviously, the players have to execute. I said that when Byron Leftwich was here. And I'm going to say it when, you know, Dave Canales is here. And I'll say it, you know, whenever the next offensive coordinator is here, right? Like, the players have to execute, right? It's not all on Dave Canales. Dave Canales ain't out there missing open guys. He's not out there getting 3 false starts like Luke Getteke. You know, he's not out there doing those things. But you also have to put your offense in the best position to succeed with what you have. And Dave Canales right now is not doing that. So that's sort of my last little note on the offense. I'm curious to hear your final thought on that.
I think the stubbornness that we have seen exhibited by Todd Bowles in the past might be rubbing off to some other guys on his staff, maybe Dave Canales as well. Because like you said, it doesn't seem like, at least during the course of a game, he's really taking in what has happened and taking what the offense has given him and trying to plan to what's going to work best in the second half or what's going to work best even on this next drive to change up what we've been trying to do. I feel like he goes into a lot of these games with a philosophy, and a philosophy that's different than it was the week before, granted, because they know they have to get better, but he tries too hard to stick to it. Like, he's just too stubborn.
Hey, the Bucs are consistent at one thing. Baker Mayfield, for the second straight week, threw the ball over 40 times.
They did, and we talked about for a while that magic number being 34. With this offense not getting any juice on the ground, they start throwing the ball more, and seemingly they're getting worse. Baker Mayfield being criticized more than ever because a lot of people have been saying since the start of the season, if you ask Baker to throw the ball over 40 times in a game, I don't know if things are going to be going that well.
You're not going to win many football games yet. Asking Tom Brady to do it's one thing. Asking Patrick Mahomes to do it's one thing. Asking Baker Mayfield to throw the ball over 40 times is just not a recipe for success.
And also, important note, just for Baker, I mean, not even a defense because he wasn't good tonight, but the offensive line wasn't good either. And it's a patchwork offensive line. You got a hole at left guard now with Matt Filer. Aaron Stinney comes in. He was okay for what he is, but, you know, that unit as a whole was not good. Tristan Wirfs, I think, was playing through some injury. They did say he had a quad contusion early in the game. He went down, limped off to the sideline. They brought out the blue tent, looked at him, and then he got back into the game, toughed it out. But I would not be surprised if you see him pop up on the injury report next week when the Bucks get ready for the next game.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
On defense, coming into this game, and honestly, a hot topic for the last couple of weeks has been efficiency on third down on both sides of the football. For the Bucs on offense tonight, they only went 4 for 15 on third down, but the league's worst third down defense allowed Josh Allen and the Bills to go 7 for 13. So another week in a row where you lose the battle on third down, you lose the football game, but you just can't get off of the field. I mean, that's what we saw a lot in the second half of this game, is the defense's inability to get off of the field.
I mean, they had a chance late, you know, and then Allen completed that ball to Diggs, and that was all she wrote, pretty much.
I mean, you know, Buffalo was toying with their prey, it felt like. Like I said, it seemed like they were avoiding
Buffalo them. Didn't play well.
Yeah.
They only beat the Bucs by 6. Like, and I understand the Bucs scored that late touchdown. Like, we've covered that, but Buffalo just like, yeah, it seemed like kind of, yeah, like they sort of, they got up 24-10 and then really just let like the foot off the gas a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, there were a couple of drives in a row where it's fourth down and they run up to the line faking like they're going to either kick a field goal or run a play. They take the delay of game and they end up punting it, which again, credit to their punter because he played one of the best games I've ever seen from any special teams unit in the NFL. But you know, it's not how you put away a bad team. And I think the Bills were a little slow to do that tonight. But, yeah, I mean, on defense, where do you want to start? The biggest name in the Twitterverse right now for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a guy who's trending for another week in a row, I wonder what his stock report's going to look like. That is safety Ryan Neal.
I didn't think he was as bad this week as last week, but
no,
still not
but
good.
Every time they show him on my TV, it's right after something terrible happens. You know, like it'll be a 40-yard gain for the offense that they're playing that week, and then it just shows a shot of Ryan Neal standing there with his hands on his hips. He's just looking around in disbelief. Like it's the same old concept week in and week out. This guy just sucks.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about a positive. I mean, you know, Antoine Winfield, can't let him out the door, you know?
Best safety in the NFL for another week in a row. Who's better? Who's better? Who's better?
Again, I'm not going to have this argument. There is a difference between playing the best and being the best. There's a difference.
And he's like, done both of those things this season. Yes. Yeah. Nope. It's been a long night. I don't need this argument tonight. I don't have the mental health or the patience for this. You will agree to disagree with me that
Antoine we'll agree to disagree, but okay. Yeah, very good. I mean, I don't know what Josh Allen was thinking on that throw. Like, again, that's what we talked about in the preview. Like, just he thinks he can make any throw. Like, Antoine Winfield's right in his face. What does he think's going to happen? And then, yeah, like you said earlier, good for Will Golston. You know, I mean, to be in the NFL that long, and obviously he's a defensive lineman, so it's not like he's played 11 years at corner and hasn't gotten a pick. But, like, you know, to play in the NFL for that long and to be able to get that is pretty cool. And his career's winding down, or at least his career in Tampa's winding down. Like, that's something pretty cool. You know, he can keep that game ball, you know, like to where, you know, like, hey, that was my first interception. Like, that's cool. And it opened the door. Like, again, like, you know, the Bucs defense, again, putting the offense in a good position. And the defense didn't start off great, but Bills went down with ease. Chunk plays after chunk plays. Still an issue, I think. The chunk plays are still an issue for me on defense. It's not a death by paper cuts. It's a death by knife wounds. You know, it's... Again, I mean, Josh Allen was 3 for 3, 50 yards on the opening drive early. Then the Bills end up having to settle for 3, which, you know, the Buccaneers' defense has been so good in the red zone. I mean, but, you know, for as good as they are in the red zone, they were dead last in the NFL on third down. So, like, in third down, wasn't much better tonight.
Very high stress level viewing when you have a good red zone defense, and you kind of see what the Bucs have done, at least these last couple of weeks, where you're left relying on that red zone defense more than anything else because you simply cannot stop them from making their way down the field. Wanted to get your thoughts as well about this Buccaneers pass rush. I know they were shorthanded, And I was a little more concerned about the run defense tonight with Vita Vea not out there. And then Logan Hall tweaking, I don't know if it was his hamstring or he had some oblong injury before the game and was limited. So we got an increased dose of Kalijah Kancey, but neither of those guys seem to be difference makers tonight. Josh Allen just had way too much time. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. It doesn't matter who you have back there. You could have Josh Allen, Jared Goff, or PJ Walker for Cleveland. I'm trying to think, you know, Zach Wilson. It doesn't matter. It could be the most mediocre QB you can think of. If you give them 4 or 5 seconds to find a receiver and throw the ball against soft zone coverage, they're going to make the play. And unfortunately for the Bucs, those QBs seem to make the play week in and week out. But that was the biggest problem on defense. You know, third down defense is a thing in itself. But the lack of pass rush, just giving Josh Allen way too much time. And then obviously that soft zone coverage in wildly inappropriate times.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, Bills 7 for 13 on third down, Bucs 4 for 15. So, yeah, just not good enough. Josh Allen, 31 of 40, 324, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, only had 2 sacks, pass rate of 106.7, 9 incompletions. I mean, that's going to tell you the story right there. 9 incompletions is not going to get it done against, you know, a team as good as the Bills. I even know they've been struggling. A team or quarterback, I should say, as good as Josh Allen, you got to make him make more mistakes than that. And like, the defense is going to be sort of let off the hook, I think, because everybody's going to be talking about the offense. But like, the defense wasn't that great tonight. Again, they can't get off the field on third down. Yeah, they forced a turnover, but other than that, like, they didn't really come close to forcing any other one besides the Jamel Dean fourth and goal play. Like, they didn't come close to forcing another turnover. Didn't get nearly enough pressure. Yeah, I mean, 2 sacks. One of them was Yaya Diaby chasing him down when Josh Allen was about to run. Was sort of one of those weird ones where, like, could be counted as a sack, could be counted as like a rush for like a negative rush for Josh Allen. That's one of them. Like, it's just, yeah, not good enough. And this pass rush is not good enough. And they are going to continue to be torched on third downs until this pass rush can be better. Like, that's just what's going to happen. And good quarterbacks are going to be able to continue to do that. And just like you said, even average ones, but the good ones are going to make it look ugly. And you know, you got a couple of good ones coming up, right? You got Brock Purdy in a few weeks. Obviously, I know the 49ers have struggled. They lost 2 straight, but, you know, Purdy's given the Bucs fits in the past. You know, even like CJ Stroud has been really good for the Texans this year as a rookie. You know, Trevor Lawrence is coming up. Like, you got a lot of talented guys still left to be played. And I don't know if the offense doesn't have enough juice, and it seems like the defense just doesn't have the ability to get the stop at the right time.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers have a long weekend ahead of them, and while we have talked about how I don't expect them to be buyers or shakers at the trade deadline just 5 days away from the recording of this podcast, I do think if Todd Bowles wants a serious chance at not only losing his grip on the NFC South, which if the Falcons win this week, you know, it's already 2 games behind. It's an ugly situation, not looking to get much better, but, you know, you kind of fall out of the race for the division, which is the Bucs' biggest hope at the postseason this year, and you potentially lose control of this team if you don't take a good look at this roster, take a good look at the game film, take a good look at some of the guys who were just simply liabilities on this football team, and make some lineup changes, you know, make some adjustments like you said you were going to in the past. I don't know what it is about Ryan Neal in particular, continuing to take up snaps week in and week out. Like you said, this wasn't his worst week, and I will agree, I don't think it was his worst week. Last week was pretty awful, but enough is enough. Like, I need to see something different there. I do. Look at what you're putting on film for the rest of these teams to see, and look how they're taking advantage of this zone defense week in and week out. When you've got big physical corners who have proven to be able to make a play, you paid them a long-term extension to make those plays, and you continue to play them out of their element, and teams are just eating you up week in and week out. The complacency is my biggest concern right now, because we talked about it with Byron Leftwich and how he grew complacent with the offense, and like that was one thing. But now you've got a fancy new play caller. While I'm not going to go as hard in the paint on Dave Canales this week, because not everybody has the level of patience with the guy as I do, but he's a first-year play caller, and he's got a quarterback that's not playing up to potential, and he's got a historically bad run game. Like, let's give the guy a few more weeks before we run him out of town. But as far as how the Bucs look when they come back from this 10-day break, if they look as lethargic as they did in the first quarter of this game, then obviously it's going to be much more than just execution errors we're talking about after the game next week.
No, for sure. That's why I think is, you know, it's not necessarily sound the alarm right now, but you go out and you lose to the Texans and the offense still looks bad. I think it is sound the alarm. So just to wrap things up. Yeah, I don't expect them to do anything at the deadline. Just don't think anything's going to happen. I don't think they want to give up assets. They also are, you know, still tight on money. So I don't think that's really going to be something they're going to look to do. And also, like, at 3-4, like, you're less inclined to do something. I know the division is still up for grabs. Like, technically, yeah, like, I think, you know, even at 3-4, they can still win this division. Like, it wouldn't shock me. I think they were 3-5 last year, and, yeah, and they won the division. Like, they won the division 8-9. Like, you can still do that. But, you know, at this point, I just don't think they're going to be looking at it like, why give up a draft pick right now for somebody who's most likely going to be a rental. So I wouldn't expect anything to happen at the deadline, even though I know fans are going to be frustrated by that. I know it's going to be, annoying, you know, for some fans to want to see change, especially after three straight losses. I think it's going to have to come internally, you know, by benching some players, maybe by benching Ryan Neal, maybe by, you know, sitting Keyshawn Vaughn, or, you know, sitting a few other guys. Like, I think that's where it's going to come, and not necessarily from the trade deadline.
Disappointing game, disappointing night for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on primetime. But the good news for you and I, Evan, that's the final primetime of the game of the year for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2023. We can look forward to a plethora of 1 o'clock kickoffs and maybe one or two 4:25 games as we round out the rest of the NFL season. But approaching the halfway point of the 2023 NFL regular season, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 3-4, very much a chance to still win the division, but losers of their last three. We are going streaking, and not in a good way, looking to right the ship before things potentially get really out of hand with some tough opponents still set to play Tampa Bay here in the next few weeks. But that's just about going to do it for this post-game reaction episode of the Cannon Fire Podcast. Follow the show on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those are Cannon Fire Podcast. Best place to go for updates on the show. And, of course, Buccaneer news as it happens. Speaking of Bucs news as it happens, you can follow my co-host Evan on Instagram, Bucs_daily, the number one Buccaneers fan page on Instagram. You can also find him on Twitter at EvanNFL. Check out his written work at BucsNation.com. You got anything this week?
I'm going to have the reactions post. I don't know when. Probably won't be tomorrow. I don't know exactly when, but it will be probably sometime this weekend. That's all I can really say. So be on the lookout for that.
Last but not least, you can find myself Instagram and Twitter /X at Redicus, RHETTAKUS. If you follow me, I will follow you back. We got dropped frames all over the place, so I think it's a perfect time to wrap up this week's podcast. We will talk to you soon, hopefully with some better news. Anything else that we hear, we will keep you updated along the way. Thank you, folks, for hanging out with us live. I know it's been a late night, so we'll wrap this thing up. I'm your host, Rhett Matthew, signing off from my co-host, Evan Wanish. We'll talk to you in the next one. Until then, and as always, thank you again for listening, and go Bucks.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, You're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.